بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر السبيل، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Alhamdulillah, we are on lesson number 59 concerning wisdoms of actions, and we are discussing about tayammum. In lesson 58 we have discussed about tayammum in journey, and also we mentioned why the feet are not washed in tayammum, and we discussed how to make tayammum. And we also mentioned that the tayammum is valid for taharat, and also tayammum is valid on the bandage. Today, continuing on lesson 59, we mentioned that tayammum is a perfect purity. Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, clean soil is a means of purity. Clean soil is a means of purity for a Muslim, even if he does not find water for 10 years. When he finds water, let him wash, because this is best. Now what we understand from this very simple, beautiful hadith, 10 years here refers to any large number of years, and not specifically to 10. Like how, for example, we say that I went to a person, and you know that person, he asked me 101 questions. First of all, this denotes not exactly 101, it denotes quantity. Meaning that person, he asked a lot of questions. So in order to say a lot of questions, you don't say the exact amount, but to give the expression that he asked a lot of questions, you say he asked 101 questions. So not 101, you cannot count it and say he asked 1, 2, 3, 4 and then count it to 101. No, then he asked a lot of questions. Similarly, in this hadith, that Rasulullah is talking about 10 years, meaning a many amount of years, a lot of years. So the purpose of the hadith is to shut the door to dogmatism, and to impress upon the minds of people that even if they need to perform tayammum for 10 years, they should never allow doubt to creep into the proper purity is not attained through tayammum. So a person should not doubt, oh, I'm making tayammum for 1 year and now is my purity made. Oh, I'm making tayammum for 2 years, 10 years, for 8 years, my tayammum, is it valid or is it pure? So this hadith is saying, no, don't worry, your tayammum is valid. And your tayammum is so valid that you should not doubt it. And this also proves about the fact that purity is attained through utilization of the soil, the earth. Such doubts cross the minds, cross the limits, and oppose the concept of concession that Allah has created for the people. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the rule, that when He has given us certain concessions, then we should be very cautious about it, and we should be gladful and thankful and grateful, that we should not question it, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these concepts of concessions. For example, we go out on journey and Allah has made 4 rakat to 2 for us. And now we should not question this. And remember, the journey concession is based not upon the time factor, but it is based upon the distance factor. One person cannot say that those days they were going in camels and donkeys and horses and mules and carts, walking. Therefore, 3 days those days and 3 days in our days should be equal. And then a person becomes a musafir. No. That musafir distance is based upon the distance covered, not upon the time factor. Otherwise, a person can say, oh, a lady can fly from here to there without any mahram, and because of the time factor. And we know that a lady cannot move out of her mahram distance, according to some scholars, 77 kilometers, according to others, 88 kilometers. Be what it may, that it is based upon 77 or 88 kilometers and not upon time. These days people think that the musafir distance is based upon time, whereas this is erroneous, this is not correct, and this is not valid. Why? Because the concession is given upon the distance and not related to time. And the laws of mahram will apply to the distance covered, not upon time. So all these concessions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, for example, in tayammum, and masa over leather socks, and then masa on bandages, these are concessions. And we should not be dogmatic and say, no, I will stick to the rule, the original rule, and I will not move. That is going to cause utmost difficulty. This hadith also proves that tayammum does not expire with time, as many farz and nafil salat are as possible can be done with a single tayammum. So when a person, because Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that clean soil is a means of purity for a Muslim, even if he does not find water for 10 years. So yeah, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that you make tayammum and that can last now. And it lasts long. And you can make with one tayammum many ibadats. We now, alhamdulillah, move on to the next section, the ethics, the mannerisms of relieving oneself. The word adab, that is ethics, is the plural of adab, a term that refers to doing or saying anything that is praiseworthy. There are about 42 ahadith in this chapter quoted in Mishkat. Mishkat is a hadith kitab. Mishkat is a hadith kitab which has got various categories of hadiths and various status levels of hadiths brought under chapters and sub-chapters, and also brought from the Sayyid Sitta, the famous 6 hadith kitabs, and other kitabs. Now, the following seven factors, which I will enumerate and discuss, have been taken into consideration when the ethics of wuzu have been formulated. The first factor, upholding the dignity of the Kaaba. The hadith, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any one of you relieves himself, he must neither face towards the Qibla, nor should his back face the Qibla, but from the direction of Medina, face towards the east or the west. This is in Bukhari. A narration in Muslim, states that Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala anhu added, when we then went to Sham, we encountered toilets that faced towards the Qibla. We therefore turned to the sides and sought forgiveness from Allah. It is ascertained from this hadith that the prohibition from facing towards Qibla and from the back facing the Qibla is to show reverence to the sanctity of the Kaaba. This is from the positive angle. Now, people want to know that why must we not face our backs to the Qibla? This hadith is very clear about it. People also want to know that why must we not face our feet towards the Qibla. I have explained previously, وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَائِرِ اللَّهِ, that whosoever respects the signs of Allah, and from amongst the signs of Allah, Shawaliullah Delvi Rahmatullah Allah says, is the Kaaba. So the Kaaba is not worshipped by us Muslims, but respected. Like how one respects the mother, the father, the kitab, the classroom, the ustad, just like that. How a person respects the senior one, we respect the Kaaba. Now, taken from a negative angle, this prohibition has been instituted before relieving oneself while facing in this direction shows disrespect for the Kaaba. The detail of this is when engaging in the act of ibadat, it is necessary to focus the heart towards the grandeur of Allah, because ibadat which is negligence, with a negligent heart, is not accepted. Obviously, when we want to worship Allah Ta'ala, when we want to make ibadat of Allah, then we have to be fully focused. We cannot be in a position that we are not focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One has to be focused. You cannot make ibadat of Allah ta'ala with a negligent heart. Therefore, that focusing is an abstract thing. It is necessary to appoint in its place something tangible that will fill the place of honor. See, that we have to focus on something. So, and because this focusing is tangible, meaning that we cannot, like, it's an abstract thing, we cannot hold it, we cannot grasp it, we cannot feel it, we cannot touch it, we cannot smell it, we cannot embrace it, we cannot hug it. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala has given us the Kaaba, has given us a Qibla, so we focus our attention towards it. Not to worship the Kaaba, but we focus our direction of attention, our focal point is there. And therefore we do not become negligent. When we have a focal point, when we have a direction, when we have an objective and a goal, when we have a direction that all of us are facing, then this becomes easier to honor the place, to hold that place in dignity, not to worship the Kaaba, but to hold it in reverence and to hold it in honor and to hold it as a place of dignity. The places of worship of a nation before this ummah serve the purpose of focusing the attention of the hearts. These places of worship were regarded as amongst the signs of Allah and were specifically restricted for Allah and their deen. It is for this reason that these nations were not permitted to carry out their ibadats anywhere other than inside their places of worship. You will see that other religions, they say you have to worship, and they have designated places of worship. They have got a temple, they have got a gurudwar, they have got a khana that we they go and worship, they've got a church, they've got a synagogue, they've got a set place where they worship. But Islam has given us, first of all, that the whole entire earth, speciality of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ummat, that the whole entire earth is the place of worship provided it is clean. That's one. Secondly, that because we do not have a place, one place of focal attention, that they have to go to the church or the synagogue or the temple or the gurudwar to worship, we don't have to have that. We can worship in, make salat in any part of the house. Obviously, not in the toilet because that is not clean. And now, because our focal point is the Kaaba, our focal point at Qibla is the Kaaba, which is in Makkatul Mukarramah. Now, this is the superiority of our deen. Our Shariat has appointed the facing towards the Qibla at the time of Takbir, at Tahrimah, as a means of focusing the attention of the heart, because Salah for this Ummah is permitted anywhere on earth, and it is not confined to the Masjid, which I have been explaining. So the beauty of our Ummah is that we are able to make Salah anywhere. Why? Because as soon as we make Takbir at Tahrimah, we say Allahu Akbar, and we face Qibla. We face Kaaba, we face Makkatul Mukarramah. And by so doing, now we got no negligent of heart. Because in order for a proper ibadat to take place, there should be no negligent of heart. There should be focus, and there should be a means whereby we can attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can get His mercy, and we can draw. So when we focus our attention on the Kaaba, Qibla, in Makkatul Mukarramah, then we don't require a set, specified, specific, stipulated building for that purpose. That is why the whole surface of the earth is a place of worship for us. This is a speciality of the Ummah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as stated in the Ahadith. The attention of the heart is therefore fixed by the direction and Takbir at Tahrimah. In order for negligence not to take place, we have to have these two qualities. That we have to have fixation of direction and then Takbir at Tahrimah. First of all, by Takbir at Tahrimah, then all eating, walking, talking, speaking, laughing, discussing, discourse, oh, running, jumping, everything is stopped now. Now the person is at a standstill. He's focused now. Focused, now we require the second requirement. We need fixation of direction. That comes about by the Kaaba, Qibla. Now we've got these two qualities running side by side, parallel, that a person is fixed and his attention is fixed towards Qibla and it is fixed towards Makkatul Mukarramah, Kaaba. And he has got the takbir at Tahrima signaling him that now, remember, whisper to Allah, talk to Allah, converse with Allah, engage with Allah, and make ibadat of Allah. Now there'll be, inshallah, no negligence of heart. There will not be anything that will deter this person from not worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a proper manner. This person will have no distractions. This person will have no disturbances. Why? He is focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is fulfilling these two conditions. One, that focus on Allah, focus in a particular direction. Now it is so important. This direction is so important. That is why we have to honor this direction. That is why we have to revere this direction. And this direction is what? The Qibla. And what is the Qibla? The Kaaba. So, by systematic reason and rationale, we have to respect and honor the Kaaba. We have to hold in dignity the Kaaba. Facing the direction of the Qibla has therefore been made a substitute by focusing the attention of the heart towards the remembrance of Allah. As a result, facing towards the Qibla should turn the attention of a person towards Allah. Since the act of relieving oneself is the antithesis of acts like Salat, facing the Qibla is thus, this condition has been prohibited. Now, understand that when we are to focus towards Allah Ta'ala, remember Allah Ta'ala, not be neglectful of Allah Ta'ala, and this act like Salat must be solely for Allah and not for any other reason but only for the ibadat of Allah, then we have to have the ethics that we face the Kaaba. So that there is no negligence and the remembrance takes place properly. And there is utmost total respect. Now, the antithesis of Salat is that relieving oneself, going to pass urine or stool, or that you are going to take ghusl, etc. Now, these are the antithesis of Salat. Because a person, when he's going to pass out stool or urine, he is not going there in the literal sense of making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. A person who goes to toilet, you ask him, are you going to make the ibadat of Allah? He'll say no. A person who's going to pass out urine, if you ask him, are you going to make the zikr of Allah there? He'll say no. A person who's going to pass out urine or stool, you ask the person, oh, are you going there for ibadat? No. For zikr of Allah? No. Then, obviously, this is the antithesis of Salat. Therefore, in Salat, we're facing the Qibla. So the antithesis, the passing of urine and stool, should be done away from facing the Qibla. A person, for example, it is written in the ethics of making Quran tilawat. A person should make, obviously he'll be in the state of ghusl, he'll make wuzu, he will sit facing Qibla. See, facing Qibla comes there. Why? Because he is going to engage in an ibadat. And he's going to be not neglectful. He's going to put his heart, mind and soul towards making this ibadat. But if a person is going to toilet, obviously that he is not going there for any ibadat. Now, we have got in the ahadith, we will narrate the ahadith and then remove the so-called doubt that exists. In a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar reports that once he saw Rasulullah relieving himself in a manner that he was facing towards the Qibla. Another narration in Tirmidhi from Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that it was a year before Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away that he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam urinate while facing towards the Qibla. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Delvi Rahmatullah Alayh addresses the apparent contradiction between these and the narration of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the following manner. Number one, the three Imams of Jurisprudence states that the prohibition applies only when in the open and there is nothing between the person and the Qibla. It does not apply when in an enclosed place. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has also correlated the hadith in this matter. He has also made tadbiq, correlated this hadith in this manner. Number two, the prohibition is the one of makruh tanzihi, whereas the act in itself is permissible. See, there are two types of makruh. One is makruh tahrimi, that is near prohibited haram, and one is makruh tanzihi, a lesser detestment. So Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that this prohibition is the one of makruh tanzihi, meaning that the act itself is permissible, but the prohibition is of a lesser nature. So, first explanation he gives that the three imams say that this refers to open fields, and the prohibition does not refer to when you are in an enclosed area. However, according to the Hanafi scholars, the original ruling is as stated in the narration of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari, and the addition stated in his narration in Muslim proves that the prohibition applies to the enclosed areas as well. As for the narrations stating that Rasulullah did so himself, these are understood to be the speciality of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, other interpretations can be rendered as well. So the Hanafi scholars say that what has been stated in the hadith of Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was seen relieving himself facing the Qibla, and in another hadith in Tirmidhi, Hazrat Jamir radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that it was a year before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away that he saw Rasulullah urinate while facing towards the Qibla. All these narrations pertain to a speciality of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and do not make the normal. That means we should not follow a speciality like how Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many wives, etc. These are the exceptions to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, speciality for Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we cannot base our rulings on the specialities of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should be very cautious that we should not be facing the Qibla whilst urinating or passing out stool. Alhamdulillah, we have discussed one of the factors concerning the etiquette of passing out urine and stool. In inshallah lesson 60, we will discuss the second factor, that is attaining perfect purity concerning wuzu. وآخر دعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين.